Thank you for tuning in to the Heritage Church of God podcast. We invite you to join us for Sunday morning services at 10:30 at 3520 Strayer Road, Maumee, Ohio. Thanks for joining us, and have a blessed day.
Anyway, turn with me to the book of James chapter 1. James chapter 1, that's right after Hebrews. James, a bondservant of God, James 1:1, and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greetings. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. Our Heavenly Father, I pray today that you take this message further than I can take it. Lord, I pray that you speak to every heart that is listening today. Lord, I pray that you use it to change lives, that you use it to change our outlook, that you use it to make us better Christians. And for that, we'll give you the thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Passage of scripture that all of us know, all of us have heard, it's been preached on many, many times. But as I was reading this, something jumped out at me because it seems to be a paradox. It's very complicated, it's complex, and even though it's quoted, it's hard to understand. When you look at the bad, how do you see the good? How do you look at death and see life? I pondered that many times when I've had funerals. We're standing before the dead, speaking of life. How can we do that? We do that by faith. James was Jesus' half-brother. Mary and Joseph had other children after Jesus was born. And James was one of his brothers, and I'm sure that they grew up as brothers, and Jesus working in the carpenter shop, maybe showing James what to do, telling James to clean up the dirt and the things because he was younger. I know what that's like. And take out the trash, and no, you can't varnish that, you can't sand that, take out the trash, you know. And it makes you feel like you're not quite good enough when you're not quite good enough, and you know it. But what amazes me is how he addresses this letter. Because when we talk about baseball, I have a friend that was my neighbor and my second cousin, and he pitched for the Detroit Tigers and the Cincinnati Reds. Whenever his name come up, I would say, yeah, I know him. I played shortstop, and he played third base and pitched. Yeah, I know him. I batted second, he batted fourth growing up. I know him. He is my, you know, we like to make that connection with somebody that's famous. James does not mention that he is Jesus' brother. That's kind of amazing in itself. Here's how James addresses who he's talking about. James, a bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. When James saw who Jesus was, and he saw the resurrection from the dead, he realized, this is God. This isn't my brother. This is God. And there is no better connection than you can have than to have a connection with God Himself. And he said, I am a bondservant. I am in bonds to Him because He loved me. They said that there was a slave being sold one day, and he was a good, strong man, and the bids went up, and they went up higher, and they went up higher, and they went up higher, and an Englishman in the back doubled the bid. And everyone quit bidding, and they said, sold. And he said, sir, why did you buy me? You don't have slaves in your country. He said, I bought you to set you free. He said, I will serve you anyway. Jesus Christ bought us to set us free. He paid a price on Calvary. And that price was he gave his blood and his life that we might have eternal life, that he might show us that looking through that grave that we can say 2,000 years later that we too can have the same life that he had when he walked out of that grave. There is no other religion on earth that can say that. That's why Jesus says there is no other way save through Jesus Christ, because there's no other way that you can see eternity except through him. Now I read the next part. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. That's difficult. What are we supposed to do? Terry, guess what? Our house burned down. Aren't you happy? I just had an accident with the car, and you get out, and the policeman's there. Oh, boy. I had an accident. Guess what, Michael? I lost my job. How can God mean that? Things that we go through in life hurt us. Things that we go through in life tear us down. Jesus didn't weep when he was praying because it didn't hurt. Of course it hurts. Then what's he talking about? He's talking about considering everything when you're going through a trial. Terry, our house burned down. But we have insurance. We've been paying it for 35 years. And they're going to build us a brand new house. That kind of takes the pain away. Police officer, I had an accident. The guy hit me from behind and I hit the guy in front of me. Well, you know how this works. And I said, how this works, I don't know. I haven't had an accident. He said, the guy behind you fixes your car. You have to fix the guy's car in front of you. What? Yeah, you're going to have to pay for it. Well, thank the Lord, I have insurance. I don't have to pay for it. When you're going through trials, start to look at things the way that God looks at things. Look for the silver lining, because there is a silver lining. There is an opportunity. There is a church. There is a God that is real, that will show himself to you. From God's vantage point, everything looks different. At Lazarus' grave, everyone looked around and that Lazarus was dead. Jesus saw it as an opportunity to show he was God. The blind man came to him. Jesus got down and spit on the ground and rubbed some mud in it, put it in the guy's eye. I always heard when I was a kid, if you throw dirt in somebody's eye, you can smack them, you know. But that wasn't Jesus' way, isn't our way. His ways are above, high above our ways as the heaven is above the earth, the Bible says. God is doing something. And most of the time when we go through trials, he is teaching us something. Wonder what the people with Moses thought when they saw the armies coming up behind them. They saw the Red Sea before them. They said, Moses, what were we going to do? And they see Moses walking out to the Red Sea. What's the first thing they saw? Say, oh, they saw the sea open. No, they saw a storm. On top of it all, now we got a storm. But that storm, the hands of God opened that sea. When you're going through a trial, I told Lisa this during between the services. I said, you know, when we hear testimonies, we usually hear from people after they've been through the valley. Very seldom are we privileged to walk in and have someone tell us what it is with God in the valley. We need experience in the valley. When you hear something, that's secondhand, but when you experience it, that's firsthand. When I was in the Navy, I went through boot camp. Some of you have been through boot camp. It isn't fun. Amen. You're not allowed in bed during the day. You can't take a nap. Amen. You go in and you get 3 shots in one arm, 2 shots in another, and then they tell you to bend over, you're getting double shot of penicillin. And you don't have time to say what. But they get you in shape. You know, Pastor Marty, we didn't have barbells and we didn't have the nice gyms like you have now. You know what we did? We went out and did jumping jacks. We did push-ups. We did sit-ups. And you say, Pastor Fry, how many could you do? However many they said to do. That's how many you did. I let somebody else count. I didn't want to wear myself out. I went through survival training when I started to fly. If you haven't been through survival training, it is not a picnic. When you see that bug crawling away on the ground, realize that is your life crawling away if you don't eat it. I thought in my seat pack, I've got Charms candy. And I've got me a little piece of aluminum foil. And you know what they told us in survival school? That Charms candy isn't for you to eat. You lick it. And you put it on that foil. Then you find an anthill. You put it over there and you let those ants crawl all over on it. Then you pick it up and you light a match under it. Then you eat it. But you know what? If that plane ever went down, I'd be glad I learned that stuff. You know, just less than 2 months after we had went through that training, we had guys that were in that group that their planes went down. They had to survive. We learn, the Bible teaches that the elder should teach the younger. Why? Because we have learned because we've went through the valleys. We went through the hard times. So you count it joy because what you see in the valley is a way to survive when you're walking out. You find a God that is real. Not someone that your dad had talked about, not someone that your granddad had talked about, but someone now that you can talk about because you've seen him. That's reality. We can't see God until we can get ourselves out of the way. And many times we can't see God until we're down on our back, so we're not in the way. The trying of your faith works patience, and it will give you endurance. It won't be easy, but it'll keep you alive. You know, when we came out of boot camp, we could run 5 miles. We didn't have a treadmill. When we came out of boot camp, we knew how to march, we knew how to stand at attention, we knew how to use a rifle, we knew how to swim, we knew all the things that were important to stay alive. They dropped me out of a helicopter in the Chesapeake Bay, a group of us. We had on a parachute harness. And we were supposed to take off our clothes because Navy clothes, if you may not know this, when they get wet, they'll hold air. You got that little round hat? Well, you got that round hat, you wet that hat, and then you suck air in it, and you can hang on to it, and it'll help you to float. Your shirt, you can button it up and tie the sleeves together and pull it up over your head and get air in it and hold the tail together, and you can float in it. Your pants, you can tie the legs of your pants off, and you can wet your pants and pull it up over your head and float in them. You didn't know that. I learned the hard way. They dropped us out, and I wasn't one of the first ones. I was one of the last ones going into the water, and I saw these guys taking off their clothes, and the place was loaded with jellyfish. They're so cute. But boy, when they sting you, it is tough. So these guys were itching, and they were moving around, and I thought, I can swim. I took my shoes off and hung them around my neck, and I was a good swimmer anyway. I'll just float here on my back for a while until the helicopter comes back and picks us up, which was half hour, 45 minutes, something like that. Well, I was one of the last ones they picked up. But I got in that helicopter, and I wasn't ate up by those jellyfish. But you have to learn that by going through it. And God may be taking you through something in order to teach 100 other people. But know this, wherever you are, God knows exactly where you are. Lazarus is in the grave and God knew where he was. He knew where Paul the apostle was, that bandit on the road to Damascus, leading an army to persecute Christians. God went, knocked him off his horse. He became Paul the apostle, and he wrote most of the New Testament. No, we don't like valleys, but we got the insurance. We don't like valleys, but we've had the training. We don't like valleys, but we thank the Lord that we have the Lord. I was thinking this week, if I had a boat, what kind of boat would I want? If you have a rowboat, you can only go as long as you can row. Then you're done. And you can only go where you can row. If you have a sailboat, you're confined to where the wind is going. Now, you can cut that wind and cut that boat, but if you got a steamboat, you can go anywhere. You can get through life, but if you've got God, he can take you when you're out of power. He can take you when the winds of the world are blowing the different direction. He can take you through it. That's the power that God's talking about. That's the unction. That's the Holy Spirit. That is God working in you to make you more than what you possibly can do on your own. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. God keeps telling me if there's no pain, there's no gain. And when you're down, you're not out, because there's a silver lining under that cloud. And God said, whatever cloud is overhead, I want you to look for the silver lining, because I put it there. You know what? There's power in the blood of Jesus. And to me, it's real. And to you, it can be. Let us stand. Our Heavenly Father, the testing of our faith works patience. And Lord, we don't like to be patient. But if we know that we're where you want us to be, then we can be patient. Then we can do a good deed. Then we can love someone that needs loved. We can care for someone that needs care. We can reach beyond ourselves because, Lord, you own the cattle on 1,000 hills. And when we obey you, you bless us. For that we're thankful. Thanks for the trials, Lord. You help us when we need it the most. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for tuning in to the Heritage Church of God podcast. We invite you to join us for Sunday morning services at 10:30 at 3520 Strayer Road, Maumee, Ohio. Thanks for joining us, and have a blessed day.